Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. We have been preaching a sermon series, and today is the day that we focus on the last phrase of love God, love others, serve the world. And so today and from now on, we have banners hanging in our sanctuary because this is not a program, but a way of life. So may these banners remind you that this is a way of life. So we have been preaching each week in the last few weeks, 3 weeks ago on love God, last week love others, and today serve the world. Serve the world is not about accomplishments, efficiency, or productivity. To serve the world is not about the spectacular. It's not about the relevant, and it's not about power. It is about a reorientation that actually begins at baptism. At baptism, we are made one in the family of God. And we're meant to live the rest of our lives believing that we are one. That what I say or do affects you. And what you say or do affects me. And that we're meant to grow in unity. And to serve the world is about unity. Jesus said, we are one, as the Father is in me, so I am in you. And St. Paul said, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one has joy, let us share in their joy. So to serve the world, in it, our actions and words have ripple effects. A way to visualize this, and here is a fantastic name you can give to your next pet, Dorotheus. Dorotheus of Gaza was a 7th century monk. And in hearing today's gospel and thinking about the harvest that is the world, he came up with this visualization. Think of us in a relationship with God at the center, and all the spokes are like a wheel, that this vision is a wheel, and all of us are spokes going toward the middle, going toward God. So, the closer you get to the middle, you recognize you're getting closer to other people. And the farther away you get from the center, when you leave a relationship or turn away from God, you're also getting farther away from people. There is this real living relation. It's grace. It is the Spirit of God that helps move us in our journey in life, moves us into the center of God, moves us closer to one another. So we're involved in this wheel of life. We're involved in the ministry of Jesus to serve the world. So when Jesus was on earth, he served those who were in front of him. And so in the gospel today, we hear that he sees a crowd and he sees they're helpless, they're harassed. And he had compassion for them. He suffered with them and said, they're sheep. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And so he turns to his disciples and says, the harvest obviously is plentiful. Look at all these people. But the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. So part of our call to serve the world is a call to pray. We might not be able to respond, but we can pray for someone gifted in an area that we don't have that can respond. So we're called, as Jesus was, to look around us. Who is our crowd? Who is in front of us? Who is harassed or helpless? What does that look like today? Maybe the person in front of us is lonely or frustrated or hurting or in pain. And like Jesus, we're called to suffer with, to have compassion. Because this is our moment of being in the harvest. This abundant world, this is our place, our call in this moment. And like Jesus, we're not meant to judge in that moment, judge the circumstances of that person. A few weeks ago, I preached about a book I'd read on my vacation, same kind of different as me. And I just finished reading the follow-up, What Difference Do It Make? And in this follow-up, and this book is about Ron Hall, a wealthy international art dealer, and Denver Moore, a homeless black man, who met together at a gospel mission in Fort Worth, Texas. And both books tell of their relationship and how they impact one another. Well, early on in this relationship, and here Ron, for the first time, is engaged with homeless people, and it's a little scary. But he wants to know what's going on. What are their circumstances? They are harassed and helpless. So he says to Denver, I want to go with you into the hood. I want to meet some of these homeless people, see where they are, encounter them in their moment. So he goes with Denver into the hood. And he goes with $300 in cash in his pocket. He has $20 bills. And he goes from person to person. And in each moment, he asks, what do you need now? Pretty soon he's down to his last 20. And he sees this man over on the curb. And he goes up to him. And he sees that he's drooling. And the man looks up and starts talking and slurs every word. And immediately Ron says, you know, I'm not going to give him this 20. Obviously he's drunk and he's just going to get more liquor. So he turns to Denver. And Denver simply says, do not judge. So Ron hands the 20 to this man, and by then the drool is now dropped on his chest and another drool has started. And so they leave. And in the car, Denver says to Ron, you thought he was drunk, didn't you? And he said, well, obviously he was. And Denver shook his head. No, years ago that man had a stroke. The drool is from the stroke, and he was trying to talk to you, and all he could do was slur. Another story on how we need to serve the world without judgment and in the moment. Yesterday, I went to my hairdresser, obviously, and I thought I was the first customer. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. But Gary had said yes to having two of his clients come in at 6 o'clock and at 7, this couple, because they wanted to have time to finish getting an apartment ready that they would be renting to a poor family on Monday. So I asked Gary to tell me about the situation. Well, John and Irene live in Long Beach. They've become wealthy because they own their own company. And John and Irene wanted to do something meaningful. And John, you know, and Irene began talking. And because Irene is into interior decorating and likes fixing up houses, they came upon the idea of buying fixer-uppers and fixing them up and renting them below market to a poor family, so that poor family could afford maybe to put money away to someday buy their own home. So they've been doing this for years. And once in a while, they get burned. And that's what happened recently. A family was living in the home, and they stopped paying and their rent, and they had to evict them. And so they were fixing up this house for another couple. And they've been doing this for years with a lot of houses. And how did they meet these people? Well, Irene does not like to cook. So every night they go out to eat. And they engage those who serve them, the waiters, the busboys, etc. And they engage them in the moment without judgment and begin to find out who they are and what their needs are. And then eventually say, would you like to rent a home and move out of your one-bedroom apartment or whatever the circumstance is? So in this particular case, even though they've been burned, they feel that their call is to make these fixer-uppers ready for a poor family to rent. For them, it is a matter of the heart. Even in moments when they have been burned, it is a matter of the heart. And in that process of going forward, even in moments that are difficult, or in moments that we assume something about another person, and we go forward, we are changed by an act of love. Love changes us because God is love. And God is at the center of our world. God is at the center of our lives, trying to draw us closer to God's power, which is love, and therefore closer to one another. Sometimes we can be reluctant, but sometimes it is really obvious that this is a moment that I need to step into the harvest. And it happened to me this past week at Costco. If you've gone to Costco to get gas, there are about 6 lines of that you line up for these 2, you know, filling stations in each line. So there's maybe these 6 gas bays, and with each one, there are always cars waiting to get gas. And there's a white line, and you have to wait there until this car or the next car leaves. So finally, I inch my way up, and I'm at the white line, and I'm the next person. And the person in front of me, this is a big, old, white car. You know, a tank, a gas guzzler. So I'm sitting there, and the door opens, and an elderly woman gets out and shuffles very slowly past the gas pump. And I see, and I think to myself, oh my gosh, she's going to be looking for one of those Costco attendants in the yellow jacket. She's going to keep shuffling until she finds him and brings him back to help her. So I get out of my car and I say to her, can I help you? And she says, yes, fill it up and I want a receipt. So she hands me her Costco credit card. Okay, I put it in the Costco slot, do all the right things, fill up her gas guzzler with gas, put it the pump back, get the receipt, give it to her. She slowly shuffles back to her car and drives off. I get back into my car. I now get into her position, and I go around the back of my car to fill up, and the person behind me leans out her window and says, thank you for helping her. And I said to myself, that woman's going to pay it forward too. And when I finished getting gas and left, I, of course, felt blessed. And all I could say to God was, thank you. So sometimes, right in front of us, are opportunities to serve the world. One moment, one person at a time, without judgment, is what we're called to do. And we're also called to do it for God, without strings attached. You do it for God, whether you succeed or whether you fail. And there are times we fail. Remember, it's not about productivity or efficiency or accomplishments. It's about entering the harvest with God, for God, and in God. But if we get burned, like John and Irene, and if we feel we have failed, or if we are misunderstood, and we are hurting in that moment, God has given us tools to work in this world. And those tools are love. That's our power source. God is love. The other tool God has given us is wisdom. There are moments we enter a situation. It's not what we expected. And we might not succeed. And we might be hurt. And so the first tool of wisdom is you surrender. You let go and you just surrender in God. This is for God, not for you. We're called to be laborers. It's God who calls us. So we surrender, letting God accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Number two, how can we be detached with the results? Number three, in any situation, with any person, may our tool of wisdom include compassion, that we are there in that moment and we suffer with, and therefore we can respond from our heart. And lastly, in those moments that do hurt because you were misunderstood or you didn't like what someone said, then the fourth tool is forgiveness. That is a powerful tool. And that needs to be carte blanche. You forgive without an attachment. Surrender, detachment, compassion, forgiveness. All of that is in the wheel of life. We are the laborers that God calls into this amazing harvest that has blessing and it has challenge. May each of us this day let something go deeper still. It's on our banners. Love God, love others, serve the world. Amen.